And this is a sad reality that people who claim to be born again, yet and still some of the basic things of the Christian faith that they don't hold on to. So we want to look at today, what does it mean to be born again?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of what does it mean to be born again? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of what does it mean to be born again?
And here Nicodemus has been a part of a group that's put a lot of faith in who they were. You know, you remember Paul said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'm a Jew of the Jews. I'm of the bloodline of this. And he ran down his pedigree. So a lot of them put their faith in their pedigree. And then some of them not only put their faith in their pedigree, but some of them put their faith in the fact that they knew the Old Testament law. And Jesus comes and Jesus knocks all that in the head. And can you imagine? I mean, this is like earth shattering. For Nicodemus, and Nicodemus, if you can just imagine, if there's something that you believed was true all your life, and you held on to that truth, and you came to the place where you found out that it wasn't right. Just think of what would happen. You know, you would be shaken at your core. You would be shaken at the foundation. And so Nicodemus is shaken at his foundation because what he's ever held to, whatever he's held dear, is he's found out that Jesus is saying something different. And that's why Jesus says, marvel not. Don't be surprised. Don't be shaken when I say this to you. And you know, the sad reality is that there are a lot of people who are holding on to something for their salvation. And when they stand before God, they're going to be shaken in what they held to. That's why it's of utmost importance, the message that I'm sharing today, that you understand it. And as you understand it, you can shore up your salvation. You can say, hey, you know, for some of us, it'll be right on, Pastor Glaze, right on. You know, I'm right with you. I've done that. And for others, if we're trusting something else this morning, that we may be like Nicodemus. We may be shaken. And Jesus is saying to us that you've been trusting in your good works. You've been trusting in your religious works. You've been trusting in your pedigree. And Jesus is saying this morning, don't be shaken. Don't marvel when I say unto you that you must be born again. What does it mean when he talks about being born again? The meaning, first of all, if you look at the phrase, and Jesus uses it in verse 3, he uses it in verse 5, he uses it in verse 7. What does he mean when he says, you must be born again? Let me make it plain and simple. And boil right down to where the rubber meets the road. This phrase, to be born again, basically means this, and it's plain and simple. It means to be gotten from above. To be begotten from above. That every last one of y'all have been begotten below. Every last one of you was in somebody's hospital or somebody's room. I was studying this, and you know, people have given birth, and it's amazing the number of places that where people have given birth, right? You look at your news. Some people give birth in cabs, right? Some people give birth in the lake, right? Some people give birth in the hospital, at home. There's a lot of different places where you can give birth, but every last one of those births are from below. Are from below. And it don't get you any further than this earth. And so Jesus says that you have to be begotten from above. Look at, as we talk about begotten from above, what is the process for being born again? Titus 3:5. Let's look at that. Titus 3:5. What is the process for being born again? He said, not by works of righteousness. So again, that shoots down. Any good thing that you can say that you do is shot down. You help little ladies across the street. You buy Girl Scout cookies. All these nice little tidy deeds that you do. As a matter of fact, Isaiah said that all of our works of righteousness are like filthy rags. And, you know, again, I don't want to say it from the pulpit this Sunday morning. Some of y'all already know what it means. But go out and study that passage, what he said, filthy rags. Go out and understand what he's saying. That any good thing that you can do is just a filthy rag. And so this being born again, this experience is not by, it's not by any works of righteousness that we have done. But he says, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Notice what we have here. The washing of regeneration. What is that? Receiving new life. Being born again or born from above. That's the washing of regeneration, where you have had your sins washed. The washing of regeneration. I don't know about you, but I know before I got saved that I was like Paul. I was the chief of sinners, and my propensity was to sin. I shared this testimony again, you know, pastoring 28 years. You're just going to hear some things over and over from Pastor Glaze, right? All right, I'm going to have to come up with some new stuff here, all right? But but this stuff works, man. It works. And that is that before I got saved, I had one of the foulest, one of the dirtiest mouths that anybody can ever imagine. And I got an amen. All right. Somebody, I'm not the only one. but you know, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, one of the first things when he talks about this regeneration, this new life, one of the first things that he did was clean up my mouth. You know? And I know that it wasn't me, that I didn't do it, because those were things that just kind of flew out of my mind, flew out of my mouth, right? Didn't even have any concern about controlling it. But it was something that when the Spirit of God came and I got this new man, right? This new person, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. When I got this new man, I got this new life. That's what Jesus talked about. This being born from above. This born below William Glaze. This born below William Raymond Glaze was filled with sin. And I haven't got the victory over it all. And I don't stand here saying that I got the victory. But I'd let you know this, that the things that I used to do, that I don't do anymore. And it's not by my power or by my strength. It's because I've been regenerated. The washing of regeneration. Receiving the new life. And notice, it's the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That when you get saved, not only does God regenerate you, give you a new life. And see, he also gives you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the ability to overcome that past life. When you think about the fact that the old nature is still there. That old man is still there. I call him Tom. You know, Tom is still there. Now, hopefully I'm not offending anybody by the name of Tom. Right? What is Tom? The old man, right? The old man, he's still there. You know, Paul had that struggle. The things that I don't want to do, that I do, the things I want to do, I don't do. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am. That man is still there. Tom is still there. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to overcome Tom if we'll let him. And so the process for being born again, that this is it, saints. This is it. You probably haven't studied it to this detail before, but the process of being born again, what happened to you when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, is that you were regenerated and you received the Holy Ghost, the ability to live the life that God wanted you to live. The process for regeneration. Let's look at being born again. Let's look at the results of being born again. Three things. First of all, you're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You have now the right to become a child of God. Let's look at John 1:12. Let's look at John 1:12. Powerful, powerful verse. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Watch this now. Don't miss this part. Who were born. Oh, what are we going back? What? Talking about this whole idea about being born, right? Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So you weren't born of blood, even though you have blood in your body, the spiritual birth, to become a child of God, that you got blood running through your veins. But this being born again, it's not of blood. It's not because your mother and your father got together and said that we're going to have a child. It's not the will of the flesh, nor it is the will of man. Was it the desire of man, this new birth? But it's what? But it's of God. That you've been born of God. You've become a child of God. And not only that, you have the right to enter the kingdom of God. And that's what we read in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Let's look at the basis for being born again. Why are you born again anyways? Can you put 1 Peter 1:3 up there? 1 Peter 1:3. You know, why were you born anyways? And when we get that verse, see, I was taking a long time looking it up. So, depending on the screen, if not, I'll look it up. There it goes. All right, thank you. Thank you. All right, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us. What's that? Begotten us. Right? What is born again mean? To begotten from above, who hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So the first of all, how can you even be born again anyways? Because of what? The abundant mercy of God. Wow. You don't deserve to be saved. You don't deserve to go into God's presence. I know that's hard for some of us to hear because we think that we're all right. But we don't deserve to go be with the Lord when we die. But because of God's mercy, that God looked down and his heart of compassion, and he loved us so much that he regenerated us. That he regenerated us by what? By sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And so that when he rose from the dead, that when Christ rose from the dead, that secured our regeneration. It secured the fact that we have been born again. So put that slide back up there again. What is the basis? Nothing, nothing, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. What is the basis for being born again? God's mercy and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. Well, Lord, I do this. Nothing else. The only basis for being born again is God's mercy and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when we say resurrection, that includes the death and the burial too. Then we want to look at the proof of being born again. What is the proof of being born again? And I have four things, and we're going to go through them real quick. Four things, and we're going to cover them real quick. The first thing, and let's turn to 1 John, because we'll find all these things here in 1 John. What is a proof? So as I go through this, and you look at your life, and if there are some things in your life, what is it? 3 out of every 10 people say in America say that they are born again. And 3 out of every 10 people who make that claim that these things that I'm getting ready to share with you should be exemplified in your life. And the first one, if you've been born again, proof that you've been born again is that you have righteousness, that you are a righteous individual. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is what? Is born. Is born. That if you have truly been born again, that you are a righteous individual. Notice I didn't say a perfect individual. I didn't say a sinless individual. I said, but you are trying to live a righteous life. And what does that mean? I'm trying to let my life line up with the Word of God. I'm trying. I might fall. You know, I might be, you know, throwing arrows at the bullseye, and I might miss. But you know what? Every time I'm shooting for the bullseye. Every time I'm shooting for the bullseye. Is that your testimony? Is that your testimony? Yeah, you know what? I might not hit it all the time. I might come up short. But you know, it is my purpose. It is my aim every time to hit that bullseye. You know what that's an indication of? That you've been born again. That you know, the person that don't have the Spirit of God living in them, they don't, you know, they don't necessarily are concerned about the lifestyle that they have. But if you've been born again, there's righteousness that comes out of you. The second thing, that you have the ability to overcome sin. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is born, oh, here we go again, born. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. 1 John 5, 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Again, we're not going to be sinless. And when John talks about that you don't sin, what he's saying is that your life is not characterized by traveling the pathway of sin. And if you find yourself on life's pathway of sin, then you need to check your heart out and see if it's connected with God. The third thing, oh, this one right here. I think this is where I'm going to get a lot of y'all on this one right here. 1 John 4, 7. 1 John 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. What is an indication that you've been born again? Love. That you got love in your heart. You know, love for everyone. You know, some people say, well, you know, I can see how I can love everyone, but I don't see how I can love my enemies. Well, Jesus said, love your enemies, right? Some people say, well, I can see how I'm loving everyone, but I don't love my relatives. Well, I'm gonna leave that alone. One indication that you have been born again is the love that you have for other people. The love that you have for people that don't look like you, that don't talk like you, that don't smell like you, that don't do the things that you do. That there's love that emanates from your heart. You know, I've heard the poem said, to live above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with those we know, now that's quite a different story. And that's the testimony of a lot of people. Man, you know, even when we are at odds with somebody, that we should never stop loving them. And that's a hard pill to swallow. I mean, really, that's a hard pill to swallow. When somebody is stabbing you in the back, you're still supposed to love them. Now, you got to keep your eye open. You got to watch them, you know. You know, he didn't say you got to fellowship with them, right? But you got to love them. You have to love them. If we have a God that loves people that are in their mess, and just think, God sees all of your mess, right? He sees your mess that nobody else sees, and he still loves you. And so we gotta love. And then finally, this morning, true love. You gotta have true love for Jesus Christ and the Father. Look what he said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1-4. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth that him that begotteth, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Love for Jesus Christ. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you worship Jesus Christ? And do you love God? That's an indication that you've been born again. As I close this morning, I was thinking about all that's going on in our country today. You know, all the stuff that's going on about the Supreme Court nomination, all that surrounds that, and what is one thing that's lacking on both sides? Both people, as you've watched it on Friday, were very compelling, both individuals were. Both were very emotional, but what was lacking on both sides was the evidence. And so that's why they call for what? An FBI investigation. Because they're looking for what? Evidence. And so my question to you this morning is that if you were in the courtroom and you were being accused of being born again, would they find? There you go.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Communion. If you'd like to request an audio copy of today's message, What Does It Mean to Be Born Again? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, What Does It Mean to Be Born Again? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, What Does It Mean to Be Born Again? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.